team. But before we start, first of all, thank you for being here, and those of you on the radio, thank you for listening in. There's a question on the floor. It is, I have a silver band with the Hebrew text found in the Book of Solomon of the inscription, I am my beloved and he is mine, with the Star of David on it. Should I not be wearing it? Yeah, amen. You would have to get a good Bible there, Mr. Goyne, because the NIV is what I like to call the newly inconsistent version. It's got about 4,000 verses either missing or rewritten. 2,000, I know for a fact, are gone. But the thing about the ring, you know what the Yannick symbol is in the pagan world? I don't want to describe it, but do you know what the, okay, you don't? Okay, let's put it this way. It's where babies come from, okay? All right? And the phallic symbol is the male end of it, okay? The phallic symbol like a steeple, and a Yannick symbol is usually, well, like on the monstrance, you got this, you got the pointy one, then you got the wavy one, and the pointy one, and the wavy one, and the pointy one, and the wavy one. That's male-female. It's dualism. And but usually in the general population of the pagan and that, the phallic symbol was on their churches or on their roof, and many times in their own home or on their grave sites. They would have the little steeple on their grave too. The Yannick symbol would be the ring. The wedding, the finger entering the ring is the act of penetration. But still, we could say, you know, we're not pagan. We're not going to even deal with that. However, I saw an article many years ago, and I've never done an article on this, and I should, or a sermon or whatever, on jewelry, but it's not something that as a Christian we should be doing. Take the extreme on this. Let's look at the extreme on this. Solomon. People came into his neck of the woods because they heard of his great wisdom. And instead of glorifying God, yeah, that's another thing too, the Star of David there thing. It's there's a little twist on that. I haven't done any deep research on that, but I know there's pentacles and pentagrams involved in that, and the upside down triangles and the interchange and intertwining. But anyway, getting back to Solomon, people would come into his kingdom to meet him because they heard of his amazing wisdom that the Lord had blessed him with. And instead of glorifying God, he walked them around and showed them all his goodies, showed them everything he had, showed them all the riches and the glory, you know. And what happened? Well, eventually Babylon took it because you go around and you flash all that, you know, all that wonderful, great riches, you are tempting those that aren't peaceful like Christians to take it from you. And that's one of the first lessons, you know, that you can get from Solomon's story or his life in that respect. Look at the inner city crime and stuff like that. Kids are getting killed for what they call kickers. You know, if they're wearing Nike shoes, they get their heads blown off. Or if they're wearing a gold chain. Like I tell loved ones that I know that... even some of my kids, if they have a tendency to want to do the jewelry thing, I tell them the dangers of it because you're advertising that you have wealth and they're going to want it, whoever doesn't have it. And, but like, for example, let's say you go to the bank and you cash a check. What do they always do when they give you cash from a bank? They stick it in that little envelope wannabe thing. You know, it's wide open. It's just got that little sticky rubber cement on it. And, you know, and your cash is in there, right? And your change is flopping all over the place. Like, it can fall out very easily. You take the cash out and you stick it in your pocket, right? Then you close the little envelope and some people put it on their seat, on the passenger seat. And that's the same thing as putting a gold chain on your rear view mirror. Or a Blaupunkt underneath on your dashboard. A Blaupunkt being, of course, an extremely expensive stereo system. You're asking for trouble. Like, even if it's empty, because I tell my kids this all the time. Like, you go to the bank and you get one of those envelopes. Don't leave it on your chair, on the seat next to you, and definitely don't leave your purse anywhere in sight, if you know, for the girls. And I says, if you leave it on the seat, people don't know there's nothing in it. The thief does not know there's nothing in it, but you're going to get a busted window because he thinks there is something in it. You know? And so, it's best just but still, flaunting the, now I don't say, you know, like just one little ring's not going to do a lot of flaunting, but the thing is, my wife and I used to do the wedding ring thing. And about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, we tossed them. And we haven't worn them since. And, yeah, on occasion, you know, people walk up and say, hey, babe, kiss on the first date kind of a thing. And, you know, you get hit on. And so, because they don't see a wedding ring. But then still, even with a wedding ring, some people prefer hitting on married people because the one night stand, there's no ties kind of a thing, you know. So in either way, you're going to have a problem. But the easiest, you know, like if you don't have a wedding ring, you can just say, hey, I am married. It's that easy. It's not hard to do. It's free. It's just, you know, air passing over the vocal cords. And so that's, you know, my opinion on it. But there is a, I'd have to find it. It's somewhere online. I used to get these circulars in the mail years ago. And the first one, it might even be an amazing facts thing. And I don't want to send you there because there's all sorts of dangers in a 501c3 ministry like that. But someone did a really good piece on that once where they showed the dangers of jewelry for Christians, even if it's just a ring. And I can't remember the some of the passages in regard to it because I've never been asked the question. So, well, I take that back. I have been asked maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, not that I can remember. But and then me and my wife, when we discussed it and studied it out in regards to the rings. So, yeah. Yeah, it can be difficult, especially for women, because women like to gild the lily, you know, but women are beautiful without all that stuff on there, you know. I mean, they are designed by a mighty creator to be that way, so. and even with the makeup and stuff. Now, there's ways to wear makeup. You know, you can wear it that's soft and gentle to some extent, or you can put it on like Jezebel. With a spackle knife, you know, like when your husband comes up and touches your face, his fingers sink up to the second knuckle. I mean, it's some people go a little like Tammy Faye kind of a thing, a little bit too much. Well, forget it. That is too much. It's not a little bit too much. You know, that's a lot. But yeah, that too. Amen. Yeah, good point, library girl. Hold on, let me see who's... it's from my wife. The jewelry too can tempt your neighbor to covet, you know, your friend to covet. You know, that's why, so yeah, when my wife and I got married, I wasn't holding heavy and I never really have been, you know, well, you know, have a lot of cash. And, so we didn't get the old marquee diamond or the, you know, those big 1-carat fancy. All my sisters got them and all my buddies got them for their wives and stuff like that. And I got a gold band for myself and a gold band for my wife because, you know, we weren't very, you know, rich in that respect. If your call was for your wife. No, it was for my wife. It was for my wife. Yeah. Yeah, if my wife is calling, I'd stop everything. She smacked me upside the head if I didn't. No, I'm kidding. She wouldn't hit me. But she's a good girl. Anywho, we're in... I hope I answered that, and I hope I didn't muddy the water any more than I probably did. But if you send me an email, I'll try to dig up that one study, and if it's a safe one, I'll send it off. If not, I'll do a quickie. I'll send you off one, you know, because I'd like to be able to stick something on my new. I got a new page on the website that I've been messing around with recently called the Easy Facts. And what I do is I just some of these people send me the every day I get 2 or 3. Questions and email. Please answer this. Please describe this Bible verse. That kind of stuff, you know. Some of them are like, whoa, Nelly, that's going to take a while. But then the Lord blesses and answers the question. And you can, if I can answer it quick enough, I throw it on the Easy Facts page. If I can't, it used to become a radio broadcast. I haven't done any live radio in a while. Well, I take that back. I was interviewed about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. So, anywho. Luke chapter 13, for those of you on the radio. For those of you in the room, well, just look to the right. See, that's another reason I want to get rid of this software. All the new audio chat software that I've been finding, even the good stuff that's got flash bass, where any computer, I mean, yeah, it doesn't even matter if you got a Mac, none of them have the ability to browse inside the room. You know, everybody's going to have to open up their own browser, which might not be such a bad thing, but if you don't have dual monitors, you're going to have the audio chat and your browser open on one monitor, and that's not easy to do sometimes. You know, your monitor real estate or your desktop real estate sometimes can get pretty tight. And I just lost a monitor yesterday. One of mine just up and died. And my son Luke came to my rescue. He gave me his monitor. You know, I only had to ask him once. Well, I held him down and sat on him, but no, just kidding. He gave it to me. He just, you know, he hasn't been using his computer lately. He uses the family computer upstairs. And he just, man, that's one thing about my kids. They're very giving. Nothing like I was when I was a kid. You know, it's amazing. I praise the Lord for them. They're good kids. Even you, Lee. She's probably sitting right near the computer now. All right, so Luke chapter 13. Let me get my my notes up here, if I got anything on Luke. I'm about ready to crash out my Bible software because I'm just winding down. I'm in John chapter 19, and I'm putting way too many notes in here, and it's clogging the database. And so if it crashes, I'm going to lose all my notes again. But at least I've been putting them to paper. Okay, Luke 13. Let me blast the page up a little bit here. I'll do a couple of sections here. Who's all reading tonight, just so we know? Hey, Rick. Just noticed Rick just popped in the room. Hi to everybody, by the way, that's in here, if I missed you. But, you feeling better? How's that chest cold thing going on, or that bronchitis thing? Any better? All right, well, when he gets a chance, he'll answer me. All right, Luke 13. Oh, you in? Okay, library. Okay, good. Cool. Thanks. All right, Luke 13, verse 1 says, "There were present at that season some that told them of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices." And there's something to dig up. "Whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices." Now, there's a verse that I'd really get into for a while there. Dig into that. Okay. All right, verse 2. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things?" I believe this is the one, you know, that where those people... Oh, no, wait. This is something else. I'm thinking of those people that that building fell on them or something. Continuing, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Or those, okay, now he talks about, he gets into the building that fell, and he goes, "Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that ye were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And let's see, how many verses we got in Luke 13 here? No, wait, we got three people reading, so I can stop there. We'll just, whoever wants to go to the next topic, man. Next. All right, thank you, LG.
Okay, Luke 13, verse 6. "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down."
Continuing, Luke chapter 13, verse 10. "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Like, people don't get sick on Sabbath, you know? Continuing Luke 13, verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him any way, or lead him away to watering? Nell, I believe infirmity means like sickness, if that was your question. But continuing on with verse 16, And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
Okay. Now, the next one here is 18 and 19. It says, Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Now, hold on. I think Bonnie sent me some notes on this. Is that what you just put in the room? Is that what you emailed me? Okay, thanks. This is, of course, from Review and Herald, March 19th, 1908, where it says, Not like earthly governments. The government of the kingdom of Christ is like no earthly government. It is a representation of the characters of those who impose or compose the kingdom. Isn't that neat? It is a representation of the characters of those who compose the kingdom. And then you can kind of see the same thing down here, though, too. Like for example, when Clinton was in office or Bush is in office, their characters reflect very much in all the corruption that's going on through Washington and all the people that they got helping them. But she goes on to say, and of course, quote, Whereunto shall we like in the kingdom of God, Christ asked. Or with what comparison shall we compare it? He could find nothing on earth that would serve as a perfect comparison. His court is one where holy love presides and whose offices and appointments are graced by the exercise of charity. He charges his servants to bring pity and loving kindness, his own attributes, into all their office work, and to find their happiness and satisfaction in reflecting the love and tender compassion of the divine nature in all with whom they associate. And let's see, the fowls. Now, I don't know if this is, I don't know why I got it here in Luke 13. Yeah, Luke 13, verse 19. Yeah, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. I looked that up. I was messing around when I was doing a study on this, and I found fowls also can be winged, you know, the winged, you know, like W-I-N-G-E-D. And Exodus 19:4 speaks of them as delivered. In other words, a man finds Christ, his faith grows so great, many more find Christ due to his testimony, and they are delivered to lodge in heaven. And that's why Jesus is mentioning the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. He puts so much information in these parables. It's like little prophecies. I mean, it's kind of like the proleptic language, where he uses all this symbolism that has so much. I mean, that's the kind of studies I've been getting into, is where, you know, I'll pick something out of there, and that's, I'm sure many of you do the same thing, and you'll see something, it'll be just so amazing. And, because just saying this is one thing, and then getting, you know, just saying what he said here in verses 18 and 19, to those that were listening at the time, had an amazing truth in itself. And then, of course, they probably understood what he meant by the fowls of the air lodging in the branches of it. Because he's talking about heaven. And so, it just never ends. That's why I can see how throughout eternity we're going to be learning and learning and learning when we get into this Bible.
Sorry, that's my cue. Okay, Luke 13, verse 20. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened.
Ooh, I want to throw this in. Could these 3 measures of meal, remember we were talking about this, I don't know, about a week or two ago, about the 3 loaves of bread? Could these 3 measures of meal? Now, this is just my own private opinion. But I keep seeing this pattern in the Word. You know, you got the 3 loaves, and now you got the 3 measures of meal. Could it be the Old Testament, New Testament, and Spirit of Prophecy? I mean, because so far from what I see in the Spirit of Prophecy, it's amazing how she, it's just, you know, how the New Testament points to and explains the Old Testament, and the Spirit of Prophecy kind of like explains both. And then when we get to heaven, it'll be, wow, even more amazing. Two. You get the 3 in the Godhead, too. Right.
Yeah, I find that very interesting. And when you made that point, Brother Nick, I thought that was, I had never thought of it that way before. But yeah, that right, Lee and Henry, that is really very, very simple and very cool. But I mean, God is like that. His word is very easy for anyone to understand and think. So very, very interesting point. Continuing on with Luke chapter 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, and I pray that God doesn't tell me that. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye, and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. That was one of my dad's favorite texts, is when they told him, go tell that fox. You know, in other words, who is he to God, who is the almighty creator? And continuing, verse 33, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's got to be in Jerusalem. That's sad. They kill the prophets. Continuing, Luke, let's see, I'm next, right? Yeah. Verse 34 and 35 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I just want to interject here, verse 32, when it said that he said unto him, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Jesus here is predicting in 3 years he will be perfected, which entails Calvary. Pretty neat. And some other, let's see, in the third day I finished my course, some other Bibles really tear that one up. You know, they ruin the beauty of that I shall be perfected. Like the RSV, I think it is, says, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finished my course. Yeah, and that's like, okay, you know, well, it's like takes away. It takes it away. I like that where it says, I shall be perfected. You know, because that's exactly what happened. But that's the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. That's there's always going to be, I like using that Bible once in a while when I know that the Bible, when it doesn't tear up the verse, just to find another way of saying it. You know, like, it's kind of like a thesaurus for me, you know? It's kind of like a thesaurus. Yeah, so let me turn off the...